The healing of the woman in today's gospel passage is far from the only miraculous healing that Jesus performs in Luke's gospel. In fact, there are roughly 20 such miracles, but it is one of only two healings in Luke that Jesus performs on the Sabbath, the day of rest ordained in the Ten Commandments. Healing people on the Sabbath seems to have served a dual function for Jesus: improving someone's life, like any healing would, and showing that the Sabbath is a perfectly fine day on which to do such a thing. In chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel, when Jesus heals a man's withered hand, the Gospel says just prior to the healing, "So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him." And Jesus does, in fact, heal the man's hand. In today's passage from chapter 13, Jesus heals the woman who hasn't been able to stand up straight, the Bible says, for 18 years, again on the Sabbath. These two Sabbath healings have something else in common. Unlike all the other healings and miracles in Luke's gospel, in these two Sabbath day miracles, Jesus initiates the healing. In all the others, it's the sick person or a friend or family member of the sick person that asks Jesus to help them. The healing of the leper in chapter 5 is a perfect example, which says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And of course, Jesus does. But look at today's healing story. The Bible says, 'And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had been crippled for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment."'" There is something about the Sabbath that causes Jesus to seek out someone to heal. So what could that be? Well, in Mark's gospel, the Pharisees chastise Jesus and his disciples for plucking a few heads of grain to eat as they walked through a field on the Sabbath, because that was considered work, and you shouldn't work on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus could have responded by saying, "Plucking a few grains of wheat as you walk by hardly constitutes work." But he makes a far more radical statement than that. He says, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath." He doesn't say the Sabbath doesn't matter or the Sabbath isn't holy. It does matter. It is holy. God wants us to keep the Sabbath as a day of worship and rest and cherishing your loved ones. But God wants us to do so because it's good for us. Now, sadly, but perhaps not surprisingly, the movement that Jesus began, which we call the church, has over the centuries been prone to forgetting this teaching from Jesus: the Sabbath was made for humanity and not the other way around. The Reformation, in one sense, was a movement to return to the idea that what Jesus asks of us is to be a blessing to us. Martin Luther and others sought to give the Bible to the people in their own language rather than Latin, because the Bible was written for the benefit of the people of God, rather than just to be a sacred object to be venerated. When we're in church rather than the pavilion here at Grace, we do process the gospel book in worship, but not because God will get angry if we don't. I checked, and it turns out that God doesn't care whether we process the gospel book or not. We do so because it can help us focus our attention and reverence on the most central texts of our faith, the words and actions of Jesus. In today's gospel passage, Jesus so wants to make the point that healing people is just about the most important thing you can do, and much more important than the punctilious observation of the Sabbath, that he seeks out someone to heal on the Sabbath. He does that at least twice, and for all we know, many more times than that. to make the point that healing is a wonderful Sabbath activity. The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. As a priest, it seems pretty clear to me how this teaching can apply to the church, but are there ways it can apply to our own lives as well? Have we told ourselves we need to do things in a certain way, even if the original purpose for doing so is gone? Or do we insist on doing certain things because our parents told us to? There's a joke which I love, which I think some of you have heard me tell before, but it's so good you won't mind hearing it again. Of the young couple, newlyweds, their first Easter together, and so they decide they're going to cook an Easter ham. And they get out their roasting pan, and the wife slices the end off the ham and puts it in the roasting pan. And her husband says, "Why'd you slice off that end and throw it away?" And she says, "I don't know, my mom always did that." And he says, "Why don't you call your mom and ask her?" So she does. She says, "Mom, why do you always slice off the end of the ham before you put it in the roasting pan?" She says, "I don't know, your grandma always does that." She says, "Call your grandma." So she does. Wife says, "Grandma, why do you always throw the end off the ham like that?" Grandmother says, "Oh, my roasting pan was too small." Sometimes the way we've done things no longer serves us well, and we instead find ourselves serving what has always been. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And holiness is close to wholeness. And if we can make anything whole, our bodies, our spirits, our relationships, our families, our communities, that's work worth doing even on the Sabbath day. Maybe especially on the Sabbath day. Amen. Amen.